Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Beautiful humans, and welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. It is episode 160. We are here basking in our post O Comic Con glow, as well as our post San Diego Comic Con glow. So we're gonna have a little podcast, you know, like we do every week sometimes. But I'm your host Tyler. Our fearless leader Iggy is not joining us this evening, but as you can hear from that chuckle, I do have Adam. Hey, Adam.
Hi, buddy.
And I do have Bob. Bob, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How y'all doing?
Not too bad. So, since if you've listened to our last episode was a live broadcast from O Comic Con in Omaha / Council Bluffs, where Iggy was trying his damnedest to eat his microphone, if you could tell from that audio, we are going to mostly focus on San Diego Comic Con. We did have some people from Project Nerd out there. We unfortunately were not there, but that's okay. We can still talk about all the cool stuff that made it to the internet or, you know, didn't and got talked about incessantly. I guess to get started, I would really say, like, I think we have to address the elephants that weren't in the room. Obviously, Marvel, for the most part, had no presence, not counting talking a little bit about Netflix. Like, we got a new trailer for Iron Fist. Disney, for the most part, was not in the room. There was a couple small Star Wars things, mainly just the fact that they're going to be making a Clone Wars movie to kind of tie up the end of the Clone Wars series. And HBO was not in the room whatsoever. They wrapped up Westworld. Game of Thrones is still a ways off. So we got a lot of things that aren't the big, you know, I think what are considered to be, obviously Disney and Marvel are the same thing, but I think between those three companies, you consider them to have some of the biggest presences when it comes to Hall H. And they didn't even bother to come. To be fair, they don't have a whole lot going on. Disney has their celebration coming up, the D23 or whatever it is. So they can do it on their own platform. They're big enough. Star Wars has their celebration coming up early next year, and there's not a lot of movies either of them are going to come out with. They've all kind of already, you know, played all their cards for this season, for this year. What we did get was a whole lot of DC and some other things. So let's jump into it. What did you guys, what were you most excited about post San Diego Comic-Con? What did you see where you're like, I need more of that in my life?
I tell you, the one trailer that I really, really got me excited, Shazam. I was really kind of not expecting it to be that entertaining from DC.
So. Ouch. No, I mean, it's funny though, Bob, because I think you're right, and I think it's the easy winner because of exactly what you're saying. It's so atypical for them, especially when you even stack it against the other big trailer for Titans. So what on whatever that is, DC Universe or whatever they're calling their streaming service, you've got the same kind of setup, but you know, a super dark tone with that. And then they come out with Shazam later and you're like, oh, hey, look at that. This is fun. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and I think the response has kind of reflected that. I think early production shots from Shazam, people were kind of like, that costume looks ridiculous. What's going on here? I don't understand. And then the trailer came out and people went nuts. But I think it was awesome. I think it's interesting to see DC kind of try to dial back from that post-Nolan, everything has to be super, super, super dark, the Snyderverse, if you will. Although their TV show, Titans, is apparently going all in on the grim darkness to a level that we'll talk about Titans here in a minute, but yes, I'm excited. I love Zachary Levi. I mean, I was a big fan of Chuck even through some of the not so great seasons, but I love Chuck and I'm excited to see him doing it. And I think he's the perfect person to play that kind of bewildered child in a man's body getting to be a superhero. Like he definitely does childlike wonder. I mean, even if he has basically if he hasn't, to be fair, he already has played a man child who basically is handed superpowers he doesn't know what to do with, but that's fine. He was good at it. He can do it again. So that was, I mean, that was exciting. Other things, and that the trailer was fun, and the post, in this post kind of Snyder DC world, it's interesting to see them kind of course correct, I think, and try to find a happy balance. Aquaman was also not quite, I mean, my biggest concern, Aquaman trailer looked interesting. I'm definitely going to see it. I'm intrigued by it. I'm a little concerned, and it was bound to happen just by virtue of the fact the entire movie is going to take place underwater where, you know, actors can't breathe and things, but it's, and obviously it's an early trailer, but it is going to be a very CG heavy movie, which all DC movies have been, but this one to an extent that was almost kind of like, is this, was any of this movie not filmed in front of a green screen at all?
As long as they don't have to edit out mustaches, I think we're going to be all right with it. I mean, yeah, because none of it looked like too much. You know what I mean? Like, that was really kind of the thing with Justice League that hit me, was just like, why is that CG'd to that extent? And hopefully, you know, hopefully they won't continue down that path, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Yeah. So if we're on DC, I guess we could talk about DC's presence at San Diego almost the entire episode, because they threw a lot of things on the table. I think the most prominent of which, that's not necessarily like title related, is the fact that they have announced their streaming platform that they will be having, that will be basically just streaming DC stuff. It'll be $7.99 a month or $75 a year, which is fairly good. I mean, it's competitive in the sense that it needs to be less than what you're going to pay for Netflix when you're only going to get stuff from DC. I think DC also has a huge advantage in this, in that they have a huge backlog, or have a huge catalog of animated television shows that are good, that are well-regarded. But between the series of Batman and Justice League, not to mention all of the animated movies that they bring out year by year, plus all the new stuff. So, I mean, question one, are either of you going to subscribe to DC Unlimited? Or what is it? Is that what they're calling it? DC Universe. It's called DC Universe. Anyone going to subscribe to that?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't play it when it was a video game. I'm not going to subscribe to it as a streaming service. Like, I don't know. I don't know. They just don't, it doesn't intrigue me. And when their tent pole is going to be the world's most murdery TV show, I don't know. Like, it doesn't.
I don't know. There's a lot of murdery TV shows out there, but so let's talk about it. The Titans was shown a trailer for Titans, a live action adaptation of Teen Titans was shown at San Diego Comic-Con. For those of you who are not aware, it is rated TVMA, and it gets all of it can get out of the MA. So I think the two big things that jumped out at everyone is, number one is, unless you are a DC comic book fan, almost guaranteed your only exposure to Teen Titans is the original cartoon series and the new Teen Titans Go cartoon series. The original Teen Titans cartoon series definitely had some moments of pathos, some really good stories, but it was, for all intents and purposes, a kid's cartoon. Like, I know a lot of adults enjoyed it. Teen Titans Go took it even farther in the young child generation. There's an entire episode that they have in that series making fun of how kiddish and fart joke oriented it is, which is a fantastic episode.
Actually, and we watched that last week too.
It was on in our hotel room at O Comic Con. But this one, I guess we'll get the two things out of one. It's really bloody. There is blood and gore galore in this trailer. Number two, I don't know that I ever needed to hear Robin dropping a fuck Batman. I mean, that came out of nowhere.
So. Yeah, that was a jaw dropper right there.
That's Jason Todd. That's not Robin. Like,
that's the other thing.
There's a character who does that already, and it's not Robin. It is definitely Jason Todd. So what are we doing?
Yeah.
Come on. Get your crap together.
So yeah, so we get Dick Grayson. We get a take on Raven, who we don't really ever see her in her like kind of Raven gear, except for in a little cuts there. She's mainly just a girl who's dealing with some figurative and or literal demons. We get a couple quick clip cuts of Starfire and Beast Boy, but not a ton. We see her throwing some energy, and we see him, you know, being green.
Running and being green, yeah.
Yeah, what we don't see, and this, I think, the biggest question that people have is, there's no Cyborg. So is Cyborg going to be in Titans, or is he now relegated to the DC Cinematic Universe since he's already been, obviously, in Justice League?
That's interesting.
I don't know. They've got, you know, they have a Flash for TV and they have a Flash for the movies. I could see Cyborg getting in there, but I don't, you know, by the time he's not a kid. He's in Justice League. Like, he moves pretty quickly, and they're pretty much not teens anymore because Dick Grayson has a job with the police force. Like, they're not letting him do that as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. It's a detective of some kind. Right. I'm curious to see what it is. I think my biggest concern is obviously, did you have to go this dark and this gritty with it? And to be fair, there have been many, very, many, many iterations of the Teen Titans. Like, the five people we think of the Teen Titans, we only think of because of how popular the two cartoon shows were. Like, there have been many different members of it. Those five are not necessarily, like, they're the canon five just because of the shows, and not, you can put plenty of other characters in there. But I think having those five definitely helps draw in an audience right out the gate. My biggest other concern would be is people unaware of how dark this is, like how many scarred children are going to be out there watching Robin drop F-bombs and chop people's heads off, because it's Teen Titans, and I love Teen Titans.
Yeah, I mean, and it's... I don't know. I mean, I made the comment on to you guys and to somebody else on who posted it on Facebook. Like, I didn't know, you know, I'm really surprised to see DC go in a dark and gritty idea with this. Like, you know, that's a totally new thing. They've never done that before. And we've seen it. We know, we get it. You're dark, you're gritty, you're more realistic. And I'm going to use air quotes here because this, you know, this collection of people are the least realistic in the DC universe, I think, when you're talking about Beast Boy and Starfire and Raven. I mean, Robin's really the only one holding it in reality, I guess, but it just seems like too much.
Here's the thing for me is I am at that point where I'm so tired of DC going dark on everything. That's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about Shazam, because it takes DC, hopefully, as we just saw, just some really funny clips, in a totally different direction. I don't think I could sit through another dark, depressing DC show for as long as I live. I'm to that point where I'm just kind of really tired of it. And I don't think it makes me wonder, I mean, what are they really thinking over there at DC? Is that what we really want to see anymore? Is just dark, depressing, violent?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get down the DC universe rabbit hole because we've done that way too many times on this show. The thing is, you can do dark and gritty. Like, dark and gritty doesn't have to mean bad and depressing. Like, you can do dark and gritty and it be good. You can make, you know, a Logan. You can make, there's been plenty of, you know, dark and, I hate, even the phrase dark and gritty has just got negative connotations now. Almost.
It's almost as bad as popcorn movie.
Well, they want it to be grounded and realistic, I think, is what they're looking for. And what they come, and all they come off as is dark and gritty. I mean, that's the problem, is what we're getting at is dark and gritty is not the only way to do grounded and realistic. You can do grounded and realistic and it still be fun.
To me, grounded and realistic was Nolan's Batman's.
Right. DC took the wrong
lessons. They took lessons, all the wrong lessons from Nolan, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is, and it's, I mean, in quotes from Snyder, you can kind of see it. Like, we don't need deconstructions of these superheroes. Like, we know who they are. Like, most of DC's problems, at least, I think, with Man of Steel and Justice League, come from either a disregard for who the characters are, or a disinterest in who the characters are, or just not knowing, not understanding them. Like, not understanding what makes them them. Like, that was that was the biggest problem with Man of Steel, was like, Man of Steel is not a bad movie, but it's a bad Superman movie, because it totally disregards, you know, decades of this is who Superman is and this is what he represents.
Yeah.
And you can deconstruct that and find different ways to go at it and tell different origin stories around it. But if you stop making him, if you break down and get rid of what makes him him, it's not a Superman movie anymore. Call whatever you want. Just don't call it a Superman movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough. We don't need to go down that road much deeper. Obviously, there was a lot also from the DC television shows that are still going strong. So Green Arrow's in jail now, apparently. Legends of Tomorrow's adding a bunch of new regulars. I don't really watch any of those shows anymore, although I am glad to know that Matt Ryan as John Constantine gets to keep showing up on Legends of Tomorrow, just because his Matt Ryan's John Constantine is really good.
That was good.
That show wasn't great, but he was really good as John Constantine. So other DC things, some stuff from Flash Season 5. I don't know. I guess I'm the worst person to talk about this. I don't watch really any of the DC TV shows on CW anymore. So unless someone else has something to tell me.
Well, what I like is, and I don't, you know, with DC Universe, are we going to do away with the CW shows? CW shows keep going. Are we going to syndicate them over to the DC Universe streaming platform? Are they going to do their own versions of those shows? I mean, I'm down for all of their animated stuff. Warner Brothers and DC Animation for the longest time were the best of what DC had to offer. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see, I think, that relationship going forward, Tyler, how long those shows stick on CW, and if the ratings start to dip at all, do we just pull them from CW and put them right onto the DC Universe? What's that contract look like on the back end for
CW? That's the thing, is I don't know a lot of the ins and outs of who's getting paid by those movies, obviously, between CW, the production company, DC, all that kind of stuff, the rights. Obviously, those two things. Number one, those shows still have huge fan bases. Like, I mean, they're not like Supernatural big, but they're close. And like a lot of people watch those shows religiously and are huge fans of them. Also, I think CW has proved time and time again, a show doesn't have to have that good of ratings to continue to keep getting made on the CW. Yeah. And if you watch a lot of CW shows, I don't want to like say that they look cheap, but they're obviously not.
They're economical.
They're not spending HBO money on those episodes. Like, they're pumping those babies out as quickly, as cheaply as they can. Like, the number of reused effects and just simple, which is fine. You know, a lot of the practical effects and stuff like that, but there's not a lot to, I don't know. I mean, they're obviously not cheap shows to make. They're not single camera, they're not multi-camera sitcoms, but at the same time, like, I think the return on investment they're getting on those, I think they'll run those babies into the ground. I mean, if CW has heard one thing, is that their willingness to run a TV show into the ground is quite high.
So I was just looking at Warner Brothers is part owner still of CW. So I think, you know, I guess CW ended up combining a couple others. So CBS, United Paramount, and Warner Brothers are all kind of overseeing the CW. They're getting some of the shares from that. So it'd be interesting to see if, instead of just syndicating back onto the CW, which I don't even know if they do reruns like that, if we end up directly over to DC Universe. It'll be fun to figure that out and kind of see how that plays out in the future.
All right. Before we move on to DC, move off of DC, because this is the most we've talked about DC that wasn't how bad a movie was in quite some time. couple quick hits of stuff. Obviously, there was some footage of Wonder Woman 1984, no trailer yet, and a panel. Obviously, the footage isn't out. It was, you know, Hall H only kind of stuff, but people seemed to enjoy it. It's very, very 80s-y, as it's been evidenced by some of that prediction. We already talked about Shazam. We kind of touched on, there's a trailer now out for Aquaman. It's big and bold and very, I mean, James Wan is not one to go small, so it looks interesting. So we'll see what happens there. One that's kind of like, I think, is exciting and not exciting, depending on who you are, is Batman Hush is finally getting a DC animated movie. And it's one of the big Batman stories of the modern era. It's also a very polarizing Batman story, but I'm surprised that DC animated universe went this long without trying to do a take on it, because it's up there. At the same time, they took The Killing Joke, which is amazing, and made a bit of a mess with it. So maybe if with Killing Joke being way worse than the comic book, maybe Hush could end up being way better than the comic book. Who knows? As long as he doesn't, you know, give Barbara and Bruce a really weird, messed up relationship again, I'm on board. So,
well, I think it's Killing Joke was one of those ones that's, I don't know if you were ever going to get what the comic book had. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they could have done it in a way that everybody who loves the comic, because I mean, that's, you know, that's right up there as 1 or 1A for most folks in terms of like what Batman story you need to read. you tell people, oh, I've never read a Batman book. And they're like, oh, come here. Let me get you this $12 copy of the hardcover Killing Joke at a comic convention that every place that sells comic books has a crap ton of them, too. You'll get it. You'll pick it up, take it, and read it, and it's fantastic. I don't think they ever could have done a movie where everybody was like, yeah, that was the Killing Joke. That's perfect. That's what we wanted.
Yeah, so, we probably could have done without the weird Batgirl Batman thing, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure.
All right, and then, I don't know, I think that's probably, oh, Death of Superman is getting a comics, is getting a DC animated version. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough DC. Let's do a quick hits on things that were there for Marvel, whether it's Marvel or Marvel Fox or whatever. So we finally got a Venom trailer. We have not seen it yet, but it is, yeah. There was a Venom trailer that apparently showed a whole lot of Venom, as well as at least one other symbiote. No one really seems still to know what this movie is, and that this, people finally asked, like, so is this in Spider-Man's world or whatever? They wouldn't come out and say it, but they were hinting that it would be interesting to see Tom Holland Spider-Man go against this villain, against this Venom, so... Venom without his Spider-Man origins doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, his whole, for the first half of his existence, his entire, like, reason for being was his hatred of Spider-Man for being rejected. Regardless, let's not get down the Venom hole. So we got some Venom trailer. We had a Deadpool comic. We had a Deadpool 2 panel for the release. New stuff, though. So we got a trailer for Iron Fist that looks real good. At the same time, after Iron Fist season one, anything would have looked
right. I was gonna good. Say it's hard to look bad comparatively.
So I'm kind of excited about that. As someone who is spent many years being a giant Spider-Man comic book junkie, I am real excited about Into the Spider-Verse. Apparently there was some new footage there that we haven't seen yet, but not only are we getting, you know, Spider-Gwen Stacy, Spider-Peter Parker, Spider Miles Morales, apparently in the footage they showed in Hall H, there's also everyone from Spider-Ham to just, they're going deep down the multiple Spider-Verse, multiple dimension rabbit hole. So that's interesting. Cloak and Dagger, which I honestly don't know a single person who has watched an episode of, is getting a second season. So that's a thing.
Real quick before you get off Spider-Man, Tyler, this may be something you're really interested in as well. So have you seen the playthrough videos of the Spider-Man video game coming out?
No, but I want to buy. This is the first time I've wanted to buy a Spider-Man game in a long time, because there have been many bad Spider-Man games made.
Yes,
yeah. And it drove me nuts, especially after the first Arkham game came out for Batman. It's like, why doesn't someone just do this with Spider-Man? Well, they basically just did that with Spider-Man. It's basically just Arkham with Spider-Man, and I love it, and I'm so excited.
Yes, Sony has gone all in. PlayStation 4 bundle, Spider-Man Red.
Oh, it's super pretty.
Spider-Man logo on it. Oh my God.
I already have a PS4. I'm not going to buy that, but I want it.
Yeah. It's a pro though, Tyler. You can get 4K.
I don't have a 4K TV yet, so.
Yet, but you say yet, because I know you.
I know.
And you will.
I have a 4K computer. So I don't know. My TV just kind of sits there. Regardless. So that game does look real good. So Cloak and Dagger, obviously, I don't know. So I've heard really good things about The Gifted. It obviously had a season 2 trailer. Has anyone watched The Gifted here? That's not.
I have not. I just saw the trailer for season 2. It looks good. I mean, it's like I said, it's just one of those shows I have not had a chance to really sit down and watch.
Yeah, if we're keeping up with Marvel TV shows, that's hard to do, especially the like non-Marvel TV shows like Legion and
yeah,
and Runaways. Yes, no, I can't remember.
Runaways is the is that yeah, maybe
it's X-Men-y, right?
Yeah, that's X-Men-y.
It's X-Men-y.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you got a lot of TV shows there that I just haven't been able to get my hands on it or taking the time to sit down and watch. But I'm definitely interested, and everything I've seen from all of them look quite good.
Yeah, of those, the only one I've seen is Legion, and I've only seen the first season, and it was enjoyable. It's weird and out there and cool, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. So that's I mean, like we said, Marvel really didn't have a huge, outside of television, didn't really have a huge presence. So let's jump into all the other weird stuff that was out there.
Before we move on from there, do you think that the times of, I mean, obviously the times of announcing, you know, a 6-year lineup for movies is probably gone from either DC or Marvel. But is, you know, is it kind of like E3 still gets a bunch of important drops for games, but are we going the way of E3 to where all of these companies have their own thing? Like, I mean, if Blizzard's doing something, sure, they'll kind of announce a cool thing at E3, but they're also just as likely to announce it at BlizzCon instead.
Yeah.
I mean, with Star Wars having celebrations, with Disney doing D23s and stuff like that, like, I mean, are we kind of going the way of the dodo with large announcements in Hall H anymore?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think there's too much stuff out there for Hall H to not get its due. Like, Hall H is where you... Because the big thing with Hall H is, I think, outside of just the fact that that's where those things have been done in the past. I mean, and those things being done at Hall H is still a fairly new phenomenon. Like, before, like, these people never even went to Comic-Con, you know, and then Hall H became a thing in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 10-year thing, and you can trace it back to the MCU, like...
Yeah. But at the same time, I still think that there's value there. I mean, I think biggest thing is you get it fun. You get it in front of a ton of people who are going to be rapidly invested in it and get the word out there, and positive or negative. At the same thing, I don't think it's not that you don't get those at Celebration or D23. But I would be surprised. Like, Disney, anything under the Disney umbrella can, obviously, they can do whatever they want. Like, they're not beholden to anyone, especially now with the Fox acquisition starting to really get the gears turning. Like, Disney is on a different level, but I would be surprised if we stop seeing, you know, DC at Hall H, if we stop seeing HBO at Hall H, if we stop seeing a lot of the other genre companies and genre announcements out of Hall H.
Okay. Do you think it goes back to comics? Like, do comic announcements take back over?
No. I mean, you're hard pressed to get comic creators, and, you know, comic creators are, I mean, obviously Marvel and DC will have their two giant booths and they'll have a couple panels that are well attended, but I don't, comics no longer really drive Comic-Con anymore. Like, it's hard enough just to find a good comic vendor at most Comic-Cons you go to now, let alone a panel with a lot of that stuff, which is sad, but I mean, the first San Diego Comic-Con was basically just a room with a bunch of guys with boxes full of comics in it, and that's not something you see. Going to a Comic-Con to buy comics anymore is actually not the greatest idea in the world. Like, you're not going to most often find anything that you're looking for. I mean, I remember my first few Comic-Cons I went to, like, that's what I did, is I bought comics. I have probably purchased one or two comics at a Comic-Con in the last, like, 6 or 7 years. Bought lots of other things, but I definitely haven't bought any comic books. I think the only comic books I've purchased in... outside of a couple, like, graded ones that for display that I've bought were comics I specifically bought to give to other people to be like, hey, this is a well-known comic that everyone owns here. You need a copy of it, kind of thing. So, because I think that's the other thing, is if you do find comic vendors, they're, a lot of them aren't selling, you know, single issue trade. I mean, they're single issues. They're selling trade paperbacks of stuff they know is going to sell because it's already popular. It's easy to find a copy of Sandman or Killing Joke at a Comic-Con. It's a little less likely to find that one issue of Spider-Man 252 in good condition.
I'm super happy that you said that, because I've been looking for Sandman at the past several years of comic conventions we've gone to, and I haven't found any, and it's been super bumming me out.
Oh really? They had it at Oak Comic-Con.
I see it everywhere, but it also depends on which version, because there's the trade paperback versions, then there's like the definitive editions, the hardback edition.
I'm looking for like the omnibus one.
It's been re-released so many times, so there's so many different versions of it.
Well, next time you see the original one, scoop it up.
I was going to say, I own a copy of the first trade paperback.
Yeah.
I loaned it
to That's me. What I want.
I loaned it to a friend, and that's been probably 3 years ago.
a slow reader.
Pretty sure. I don't know. I think she lives in Iowa now. I don't know. I'll have to like drop her an email or something like that. Preludes and Nocturnes. I definitely own a copy of it, but it's then, in the
possession. Well, the next time like, you're at a convention, like my, you see it, scoop it up for me.
Yeah, buddy. it's like my copies of how many copies of Lamb I've owned at one time or another that are now all. I think one's in Boston. I'm pretty sure one of them is also in Iowa with Preludes and Nocturnes. One of my lambs is in Manhattan. I don't know. There's a lot of lambs out there that at one time belonged to me and no longer do. Speaking of Sandman, I would like to point out it was not a trailer, but we did finally get some, not I shouldn't say footage. There was very little in the way of footage, but we got a behind-the-scenes video from Amazon and BBC's adaptation of Good Omens with some Neil Gaiman. With some John Hamm, with some Michael Sheen, with some David Tennant. And I am so excited for this adaptation. I have read that book multiple times. Obviously, I am a big Neil Gaiman fan. I am a unapologetic, creepy, weird Terry Pratchett fan. Like Terry Pratchett, I've read his books. I love Terry Pratchett's my favorite author of all time and probably always will be. I'm real excited about this.
Yeah, going to be very good. If you guys haven't read that book, scoop it up, read it. Definitely watch a TV show because you have Amazon Prime. Make it happen, people.
I guess I'll put it over to Adam because there was like obviously Comic-Con's genre things of all stripes these days. It's not just comic book stuff. And one genre that got a lot of love, I think, this year was the horror genre. So let us look at horror stuff. Adam, how excited are you about Castle Rock?
I mean, anybody who's not excited is more concerning to me. I mean, gosh, I like Stephen King, you know. I don't think you have to defend that to most folks who enjoy horror. Like, and Castle Rock is going to be right up there. I think it looks very good, and I am really excited about it. And of all the things that kind of they showed at San Diego Comic-Con, that's the one that, you know, I'm most excited about. I was most excited about it before the con and still most excited about it. Tyler, I know you've read plenty of King. Yes.
Yeah. And I am 100% excited. It's going to be obviously on Hulu. Stephen King, obviously, J.J. Abrams is behind it. It also has Bill Skarsgård in it, who is not playing Pennywise. So, but it definitely looks like it's going to be a party. So I'm 100% on board. I mean, more King is never a bad thing. So I'm still waiting for someone to do like an all-in. Like, I feel like post-apocalyptic has been big for a while now, but with a little touch of like weird fantasy stuff. Like I don't understand. I'm surprised of all the things of his that have gotten adapted recently or readapted recently has gone all in on The Stand, said, yeah. Screw it.
It's hard to understand why nobody's done that.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, like I would hate to see it done badly. Cause I feel like that's a big bite to take off because that is
What did you think of the television version?
I mean, it's okay for the time. It was good. I mean, The Stand is a sprawling thing. It would have to have a lot of adjustments, obviously, unless you make it a period piece for modern day. But at the same time, like, I don't know that there's any way that could be done well if it's not a, like multi-season. Miniseries.
I think the only place they could find that show would be on HBO.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past like after what they've done Hulu and Netflix. See
Amazon's reaching out.
Amazon between like Man in the High Castle and some of the other stuff.
They got Amazon's the money done. To do it.
Yeah, and at the same time, Handmaid's Tale has shown a lot of really. I mean, has shown some promise for Hulu can do some things. But at the same time, like a lot of those, they're paying for it. They're not obviously. They give money to people who are going to go out and do that kind of stuff. But I think HBO, Hulu, Amazon, Netflix are really the only place you would ever see it done right.
Who do you cast as Randall Flagg?
God, that's. I don't know.
Because I mean, that is the one that you need, right?
It's true. It has to be. I mean, Randall Flagg is that show would live and die by who is playing Randall Flagg. But I would, I, I would have to spend some time noodling on that one.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. I think it 100% is dependent upon Randall Flagg. And the funny thing is I think you have to cast somebody who hasn't done evil.
Yeah. They have to, it have to be a surprise. You know, they've got to be, they have to be super charismatic and likable. And I think it would be a very interesting.
Oh, and I can't remember his name, but the guy playing Shazam, like that's the kind of like
Zachary Levi.
Yeah. Like completely under, like
against cat,
underestimated. Against cat. Yeah. Like, it's gotta be totally against character because he has to be 100% believable as the good guy when everybody, you know, for all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Except for the purely evil parts, in which case, I mean, I think he's a good enough actor to pull it off. So it'd be interesting.
I'd be curious to see where that goes.
I think we should do a show. We should do a casting couch of take something and then cast it.
God, that used to be when I was in college, we used to do that at the bar all the time. We would sit for hours and cast books and TV shows. Anyway, other horror related things. Obviously we've talked ad nauseum about how most of us never really watched The Walking Dead. Walking Dead had a big presence, obviously. The biggest thing was they had their big panel. They basically was all a big giant goodbye for Andrew Lincoln, who is finally leaving the show after this season.
Yeah.
There was also a trailer that showing like that things are already about to go with Negan gone. Everything's already about to go back to hell again. Cause obviously it's The Walking Dead. Everything has to be a shit show at all times or what's
But this time it's not the zombies or the villains. It's the humans again.
I mean, were the zombies ever really the bad guys, Bob?
I think they never were. They never
like
were.
Episode four, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe. Yeah.
End of episode of season one, but that's about it.
Yeah, but yeah. Now
we were the villain the whole time.
Yeah, it's gotten so redundant, which is one of the reasons why I have stopped watching it. But yeah, it's. You know, I mean, if anyone saw the end of last season, spoiler alert, there I said it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The original group is kind of splitting apart now because Rick saved Negan. So so now it's going to be a battle between an internal battle and just the zombies are going to be sitting around watching them fight. So it's going to be kind of interesting. And I mean, I've heard rumors that they're going to kill Rick off or he's just going to go off into the sunset and whatever, since he's really got nothing left. His entire family's dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going. Also, YouTube Red is trying its damnedest to become a thing. I don't know a lot of people who really watch it, but at the same time, I'm not really the target audience for YouTube. If it's not catching clips of things I've already seen a million times or cooking videos, I really don't watch YouTube. I watch a lot of Binging with Babish and Bon Appetit Test Kitchen videos. That's about it. But their new Origins show looks like it could be interesting. We're in a third season of Stand Against Evil, which I have never watched, but I've heard great things about it, and I love John C. McGinley, so I may have to check that out at some point. We got a trailer for Sci-Fi's Night Flyer series based on the George R. R. Martin classic, which could be, who knows, I don't know.
It's not exciting, I can tell you that. I wasn't excited by it anyway.
By the trailer?
Yeah.
Sort of in the horror genre, just because of some of the things it's going to do. It's been obviously been teased for a while, but we got a lot more stuff from Bobcat Goldthwait's Misfits and Monsters, which is going to be on True TV of all places, which is an anthology series a la, you know, Black Mirror or Twilight Zone or that sort of thing. But the first few episodes that we do know about, there's a Seth Green one where he's being tormented by an animated character that he's voiced for years. Also an episode where a werewolf runs for president, which looks pretty interesting. I like Bob Goldthwait. He makes some really twisted, weird stuff. And the casting for it, like in every episode, they've got some really big names in it. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, obviously, there wasn't anything new, but there was a panel for the new Halloween. So that's definitely coming.
Yeah.
We've known that for a while, though. I mean, that's kind of a... To me, that seems like a weird thing. That's right up there with the Deadpool 2 panel. Like, I mean, the movie's been out. Like, what are we doing this for?
but yeah, I still want to see Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean,
Always. I mean, always. There's obviously nothing wrong with getting the Queen of Scream up there.
Yeah. Okay. And the only reason they had a Deadpool panel is because they are releasing the Blu-ray here actually in like 2 weeks, and it's going to have 15 extra minutes. So they actually did a showing there of
That's not how you get people to buy it.
I know.
Hey, we're going to have 15 minutes you've never seen before. Here, let me show it to you. Oh, nice. So, speaking of Blu-ray releases, I do want to throw out there, even though we already did DC to Death, we are finally getting a Blu-ray release of Batman the Animated Series, which I...
Yep, just announced
probably
today.
Be beginning. It's kind of segue into out of horror into just movie trailers in general, but because the last one was sort of a horror movie, I'm going to let it slide. We got a trailer for Glass, which looks... Yeah. Real good. If you had told me any time probably in the last 10 years that it'd be 2018 and I'd be super pumped about an M. Night Shyamalan movie that's upcoming, I would have said no.
Yeah. An M. Night Shyamalan sequel to Unbreakable, nonetheless. Yeah. Like, not just an M. Night Shyamalan movie, but a sequel to Unbreakable.
But it looks really interesting. Obviously, we get Bruce Willis, we get Samuel L. Jackson, we get James McAvoy. We also get one main new character in Sarah Paulson. And then there's also some clips of Anya Taylor-Joy, who obviously was the one who made it out of Split alive. Sarah Paulson's playing a psychiatrist of some kind who specializes in people who think they're superheroes.
Didn't know there was a psychiatrist like that.
But there is very much the movie definitely, I mean, the trailer, if nothing else, it's very... The movie looks like it's shot in a very stylistic manner. Like, it has a really cool aesthetic to it. And I'm curious to see where they go with it. Like, how they... I mean, it's very much hinted that it'll be Mr. Glass and the Beast are going to team up and David Dunn's going to have to stop them. But I'm sure there's more to it than that. And Anya Taylor-Joy, what she does is still kind of up in the air. But yeah. I'm excited about an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Do you think there's going
to
be a twist?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah.
You know, when we originally saw Unbreakable, I really wasn't too excited about it, but it took several times watching it. Then I really kind of got into it. And then, you know, at the end of Split, where you got that little clip at the end, which reintroduced Bruce Willis's character, yeah, from that point on, I was all in.
But, I mean, Unbreakable is, I think, has gained a lot more like and reputation as time has gone on. I remember the first time I saw it, it's like, it was okay.
Yeah.
It's still not a great movie. It has many, many flaws, but it was an interesting take on the genre. Split, on the other hand, was just a good movie, even without the twist. Like, it's just a good flick. Like, it's probably one of the best written things he's made since, I would say, probably like Signs.
Yeah,
like, it's just a well-written movie with a good... doesn't rely on the twist. And kills it.
That
just
whole movie. Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
So that was... I think that was enjoyable. We also, if we're talking about big screen trailers, we got new footage from The Predator, which looks interesting. We also got a new Godzilla trailer, King of the Monsters, which looks... kind of crazy. We're bringing them all in. Like,
there's
all
a lot of monsters and a lot of destruction in that movie. Like,
many, many monsters.
And it's a very stylized preview. I mean, the imagery is very stylized.
It's very out there. And it also makes it clear, like, there's, regardless of who wins in the monster battle, you know, whether it is, we've got Rodan, we've got Mothra, we've got King Ghidorah, like,
the shit's going to hit the fan.
There's no humans winning. Like, like you said, there's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of entire cities being decimated in this trailer. So, but, you know, Godzilla's Godzilla. So we're going to watch it. I'm excited. Yeah. And 11 gets a roll. So,
yeah.
What else? I don't know. Any other trailers, movie trailers that came out? I think most everything else that had a panel movie-wise was something that they've already released everything they're going to release. That I don't know anyone who's excited about, but it's...
You know, it looks actually kind of interesting, but I tell you, this Christmas is going to be... It's going to be a battle on movies. You got Bumblebee, you got Mary Poppins, you got Aquaman, and those are three movies that are going to happen in those 5 days before Christmas. it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah. On the upside, usually.
And Spider-Man also is Christmas Day, too.
Yeah. Because of the whole Christmas break, people do see multiple movies that time and have the ability to see multiple movies at the same time. Like, you're right. There's definitely going to be some winners and losers on in that place.
Yeah.
So speaking of, you know, sequels and reboots and continuations, there are a lot of things that are getting rebooted, coming back, especially in animation, but we're getting a new version of Charmed, which no one, I think, really wanted all that much, but getting a new reboot. Apparently Buffy is also getting rebooted. That wasn't a San Diego thing. That's come out since San Diego.
Yeah, that Buffy one I wouldn't rebooted. That one I wouldn't mind, because Buffy was such a good show.
Did they just, like, did somebody find, like, an old VHS tape? They were sitting around, they found this VHS, unlabeled VHS tape, popped it in to see what was on there, and they're like, oh, that was a good show.
No, Joss Whedon was just bored. He had nothing to do.
Well, and Joss Whedon's working on some other television show, isn't he, too? Like, he has some other big project he's working on that's...
Well, isn't there supposed to be I can't remember if it's going to be a comic or an animated series or what, of Firefly?
Well, there's been comics of Firefly since.
Yeah, but I've heard that there's going to be something. Maybe it is an animated series, is what I heard.
But yeah. Joss Whedon is working on a couple different. We're bringing back Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, when we come to, there was a lot of new animation stuff. So if you're into cartoons, like, animation was big. Between the new show, so obviously we're getting a Netflix animated series from Matt Groening, who hasn't made a new thing in, I don't know how long ago did Futurama come out? So many, many years. I enjoyed the trailer. I love Matt Groening's kind of sensibility. Like, The Simpsons, or whatever else you'll say, for its, you know, 30-ish years that it's been on, is still The Simpsons. There's still amazing things that have happened there. But Futurama is one of my favorite television shows of all time. And after his take on sci-fi, which I love, getting him to do a take on fantasy tropes, I'm 100% on board with. So I will.
Oh, yeah. Disenchanted is really funny. Like, I'm 100% on board. I've been looking forward to a new cartoon in a really long time.
Another big one Netflix is getting. So Netflix is obviously all in on animation. They've had a lot of new stuff. We're getting new things from Matt Groening. We're also getting a new trailer. We got a new trailer for a new show from Aaron Ehas, who was the head writer for Avatar: The Last Airbender, The Dragon Prince, which the teaser doesn't show much of anything other than what, like, the animation style is going to be, not much story-wise. We got Venture Brothers is finally coming back. It feels like it's been a really, really long time waiting on Venture Brothers, but we're getting new Venture Brothers. We got previews for the second half of season one of DuckTales, which, if you're not watching the new DuckTales animated series, it's really good. Like, it's really, really good. If you love the original DuckTales, but just for no other reason, watch it, because you've got David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck. You've got Lin-Manuel Miranda as Gizmo Duck. Catherine Tate is Magica. You've got everything that was great about the original DuckTales, and it's still really, really good. It's so good. I've really enjoyed it.
Did we keep the theme song?
We did a take on the theme song. So it's different, okay. But it definitely has bits of it. They've also introduced multiple other things in it. So in the second half of the new season, they show in the trailer that they will be going to, what's the name of the place? The setting for Tailspin. So the villain, the Don, what's his name? The wolf pirate, sky pirate guy shows up in the new one. Also, in the first half, they introduced Darkwing Duck, but Darkwing Duck is an in-universe television show that they watch. That's Darkwing Duck. But it's got the same, like, animation.
Really well done.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So if you're into, like, early 90s Disney animated series, like, it clicks all the buttons. It is really, really fun. I don't know. I feel at this point I'm just listing stuff off, but we're also, so we talked about it at the very, very beginning. We mentioned it. Like, obviously Disney didn't have a huge presence, but Clone Wars is coming back after 10 years to finish the story. They're going to come back. Not the 2D animated, but the 3D animated Clone Wars. There's two different Clone Wars animated series. The second Clone Wars animated series ended kind of in a bit of a, not a great place when it got, basically after Disney bought everything, a lot of the stuff got kind of shelved. But now that the guy behind it is kind of heading up a lot of the Star Wars stuff, we're going to get, basically we're going to get the end of Clone Wars, which is Anakin and Ahsoka going to Mandalore to take on Darth Maul. So, I mean, if you loved anything about Clone Wars, it's just coming back to do it again for 12 episodes on Disney's streaming service. So that's a cool thing.
If you loved anything about Clone Wars, come on. Everybody loves something about Clone Wars.
There's some people who just don't like Star Wars stuff, but this is a big deal. Like, this is kind of a really, really big deal. I kind of buried the lead on this one, but Clone Wars coming back to finish the story is pretty effing exciting. So,
especially with the ending of Solo, like how that all ties in with everything that's going on there. Like, I'm intrigued at how we can start piecing all this together even more and where it might lead us.
Also, speaking of reboots, Roswell's getting a reboot. I never really watched the TV show, but I know a lot of people were really into alien stuff, and Roswell got a reboot. A lot of reboots, a lot of old franchises coming back in new forms. What other things are there to talk about? I feel like we've talked about so much, but I know we're missing tons of stuff. New Doctor Who. So Jodie Whittaker made appearances at Comic-Con as the new Doctor. We got a trailer of her season as the Doctor. I have to admit, not watched Doctor Who in a while. I'm not caught up. I definitely caught some of, now I'm blanking on his name. Who was the most recent Doctor?
Peter Capaldi.
I've caught some of his run, not much of it. But obviously this has been a big topic since the announcement that they were going to cast a female to take over as the newest Doctor. I guess, Adam, you're probably the biggest Doctor Who fan. Have you kept up on Doctor Who up to where we're at right now?
I'm not all the way up, but I am certainly farther along than you are. So for me, the Doctor very much is, my enjoyment of the Doctor very much is tied to the companion. And I never got in with Clara. And there's just so much for her with Peter Capaldi. So it's been tough for me. I really enjoyed Peter Capaldi's take on the Doctor though. And I'm excited, you know, to go ahead and finish and see where Jodie Whittaker can take us, because I think other than being a ginger, being a woman is what the Doctor has wanted. Like, one thing he's always wanted to experience. And so it's going to be an interesting take. Yeah, for sure. And I think it'll bring some rejuvenation to the series that I guess has felt like it's gone a little flat. I don't know if that may just be a personal feeling and not a consensus for Whovians, but feels like it's jumping through hoops at this point, doing it because this is what we do.
No, I have not.
Just kind of re-energize it a little bit.
I haven't seen the trailer, the new trailer, but one of the things that I was hearing is they were talking that it was almost like a reboot, a complete reboot with her. I'm not sure how that will play if that's the case. But it will be kind of interesting. I know it may be something that I may start getting into now. Just kind of interesting to see how people are going to respond to her.
Dig it. Well, I mean, I know a lot of people are super excited. I mean, people are always excited about New Who, so it is definitely exciting. Other things coming out, a lot of TV shows, sci-fi. We already touched on one of sci-fi's new TV shows in the Night Flyers. They're also doing an adaptation of the comic book Deadly Class, which is kids killing each other, which is always fun. That's a popular That's a popular genre these days. Obviously, the comic book based on, it's in the 80s. A kid gets inducted into a school where they train assassins and, you know, fight each other, kill each other, do cool stuff. If you have needed more Benedict Wong in your life, which I don't know anyone who doesn't need more Benedict Wong in your life, he's playing the headmaster, Master Lin, which looks really interesting. other TV shows coming back that got some trailer. Discovery is getting a second season, which is interesting. Like, they've talked a lot about things they're trying to change, trying to make it fun again. Because I feel like Discovery has had to basically almost at this point, because we didn't really know what we were getting with the Orville until it came, and we realized, oh, it's really just a Star Trek TV show with extra jokes. Because the Orville did some Star Trek episodes better than Star Trek did. Like, they did, they tackled some really big sci-fi stuff, like some old school TNG kind of things. So the Orville obviously is coming back for a second season. There's a trailer out for that. I was hesitant. Like, I go kind of hot cold on, I can't think of
his name. MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane. I like Seth MacFarlane a lot. I don't like everything that he makes. He is a person I really find entertaining and funny, and like seems like a good dude.
In short bits,
lots of his stuff he does, I really enjoy. Lots of stuff he does, and like I could have done without that. But I was incredibly surprised by how much I enjoyed the Orville. Like there was a few dud episodes here and there, but it's a really good show. Discovery, on the other hand, had high points, but I just don't understand Star Trek's obsession post DS9 with everything having to have happened before everything else between Enterprise and Discovery. Like, there's this whole world, like post Dominion War world we could do, like, or even go out into sectors that we haven't explored, but we have this obsession with like, let's go back and show more backstory of stuff that we've already done ad nauseum. Like, not only have we done in television shows between Enterprise and the original series, but like in the later series, like the amount of time they would spend going back in time and revisiting, you know, we've done First Contact in a movie with the Next Generation cast. The Next Generation had multiple like go back in time. That DS9 had multiple like basically refilming entire original series episodes. Like, I don't know why they're not willing to move forward with a sci-fi show that's about moving forward as humans. Like, this is how things change. Like, the future of humanity, and yet we still feel the need to like go back, you know, to the 22nd or 23rd century.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, basically, is their philosophy.
Yeah, but it's been broke for a while. Like, yeah. Was anyone really singing the praises of Enterprise? Like, I watched Enterprise, but it was not a great show. And after the kind of the first season, it kind of went off the rails, especially after the second season. Discovery has been very polarizing, I feel like.
Tyler, you got to look at Hollywood this way. As an example, 8 of the movies this week out of the top 10 are sequels. There's no originality.
Yeah, but you're already giving everyone what they want in the sense that you're making a Star Trek. Like, you don't.
It's just that label.
Yeah, it's Star Trek is a sequel in the sense that it's Star Trek.
You could say Star Trek. Yeah, it's a floating toilet through space. I mean, they could call it Star Trek and people would still watch it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you already got the buy-in from, like, it's mean Star Trek. Stop rehashing the same old stories. Between, we've done the Klingons. We've now done, what, 4 different versions of the Klingons? We've done the original series, the Next Generation, which was then also the DS9 and Voyager version of Klingons. We've done now a version of Klingons in the new reboots of the movies. And now we've got another whole different version of Klingons and... How about, like, let's go meet another new fucking alien race? It's a big fucking universe, guys. Or do we need to retell the backstory of the Klingons for the 4th fucking time?
There you go. Probably. That's it.
I don't know. I digress.
Yes, it's approaching Bruce Wayne's parents' fate. Our obsession with Star Trek and the Klingons. I agree with you, Tyler.
I feel like we talked about a lot of stuff. I don't think other than DC, we really went in deep. I feel like this was almost just an episode of us listing things. Honestly, if you did not get to go to San Diego Comic-Con, which is the vast majority of people who are listening, because it's a big show, but it's a tough ticket. So yeah. Please catch up on all this stuff. All pretty much everything that we've mentioned is available on projectnerd.com. There are trailers galore that you could watch. And there's plenty of other stuff that went on at San Diego Comic-Con. There was actually, for as much as we talk about how comics aren't part of Comic-Con, there were some comic announcements at Comic-Con, a new Vision series coming, some new writers and directors moving some big stories, some Batman stuff coming down the pipe. There was plenty of movies and television shows that had, you know, if nothing, just updates that we have not talked about and stuff that's still just on the horizon. Like, there was a lot of cool stuff. There was also a lot of exclusive toys and posters. I wanted that Ghostbusters poster from the Mondo booth so bad I could taste it. It was a beautiful thing. If you haven't seen it, it's a glow-in-the-dark. So, first of all, Mondo's never done a Ghostbusters poster until now, and this one was gloriously beautiful.
Did we have anyone out to in cosplay pictures?
I honestly do not know. There was obviously a ton of really great cosplay there, but I don't know. This has been, obviously, our San Diego recap. It's not been the most well put together. We probably should have fixed a script, but at the same time, it still would have felt just like us listing things. Is there, let's do final thoughts super quick, and is there anything that I did not list at San Diego Comic Con that you guys caught that you're like, hey, you should probably bring this up?
Adam, you go first.
I'll go first, sure. I mean, I'd say one that you missed, there's an additional Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them trailer. So the Crimes of Grindelwald. You had Johnny Depp being weird and Johnny Depp.
But it looks good.
At Comic-Con, yeah, movie looks good. I think it's going to be a very good, another really good entry into the Harry Potter world. I'm excited. I also want to say, as my final thoughts, I rewatched Goonies last night, you guys. That is just a fantastic movie. So I think everybody should go out and pick a movie that they really, really liked as a kid and rewatch it. Just kind of let yourself into that magic that you remember from being a kid and watching that movie. Because I remember watching The Goonies as a kid being like, man, I wish I lived somewhere with caves and where I could do cool stuff like this. Like, I would totally be super into being a Goonie. And I watched it as, you know, a 36-year-old. And I was like, man, I wish I lived somewhere with like caves and where I could do cool stuff like this. I'd be super into being a Goonie. Like,
you're in Arkansas. Don't they have caves?
We do have caves, Bob's, but caves are dangerous right now. Obviously, okay. I'm 36. I know enough not to go into caves. Right.
You might end up like a soccer team. I know.
Right. Exactly. So, the wonder is still there. The common sense is caught up though and keeps me out of that. But go find an old movie that you loved and rewatch it because it's absolutely fantastic and share it with a younger generation. I watched Goonies with my nieces who hadn't seen it and. Just laughing the whole way through, talking about how much they enjoyed it afterwards. So find an old movie that you loved as a kid and share that with somebody who hasn't seen it. That's what I'll be my final thought.
I have two final thoughts. Number one, a quick rundown of the box office this week. Number three, Hotel Transylvania, $23 million. Number two, Mamma Mia, here we go again, 34.9. And The Equalizer was number one with 36.01 million. So it was real tight in those top
Denzel,
two.
Denzel packing it in at the top. Get him, yeah. Denzel.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was a little long, a little slow to build up to it, but for the most part it was pretty good. My second thought, and actually it kind of goes back to you. Last night I sat down and watched a couple classics, at least for me they're classics. I got the 4K a remaster of The Quick and the Dead, which is such a good movie. I love that movie. And then, and there is still time. The Criterion sale is still on for another 2 weeks. The Criterion release of Bull Durham. I have not seen that in so long. It was so funny. I recommend that strongly to anyone who has never seen it. Anyone who loves baseball, is such a good movie. Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins are fantastic. So go watch those two.
I wouldn't dig in too hard. I don't know where it's going to go. If he hits you, it's going to leave a 2-foot hole coming out the other side. Kevin Costner talking crap to the batters is so hilarious in that movie.
It is. Yeah, meat. it's a great show. It really is. Tyler?
I was just thinking about it and I'm trying to think. San Diego, I don't really have anything. Book-wise, I finished Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik. It was a really good book. Everyone should pick it up. Also, the much, much awaited sequel to sorry. I got to say this right. The Traitor Bower Cormorant is coming up soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I have I need to read that. But that was not really well thought out last thought. I'm trying to think anything else that's come out of San Diego Comic-Con or just in general. I don't know. It's been a really busy week for pop culture. It's hard to keep up on all of it. But we did our best. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you didn't, you know, come back next week. Maybe it'll be better. Maybe not. I don't know. There's no way to predict these sorts of things. One thing I will show out is there's some big announcements coming out from Project Norm recently. Please head to our website, Facebook page, Podbean, leave some comments. But the big thing is look for us at Colorado Springs Comic Con here in August. It's going to be big and awesome, and we're going to have a huge presence there. It's going to be a ton of fun.
That is going to be a blast.
Like I said, go to Project Nerd anyway to catch up on San Diego Comic Con or O Comic Con. We're just all your nerdy needs. We've got it all there. But once again, all you beautiful humans out there, thank you for joining us here on the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. This has been episode 160. We will see you next time, same nerd channel. Sayonara.
Bye, y'all.
Put your butts on, sir.